Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Citizens Climate Lobby training program. It's a weekly webinar of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth learning opportunities on topics related to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight we're going to be diving into an Empowering Your Requesting workshop. We know the strength of CCL's chapters runs on volunteer leaders feeling empowered to make requests, especially requesting volunteers to participate and engage in the bold vision that we have for a shared future in creating the political will for a livable world. Tonight's session, led by Jean Rytok, former group co-leader of the Rally Durham chapter, takes us from our existing skill level in asking to a more empowered asking. It's an avenue to partnership in your chapter, volunteers enjoying their participation and peace of mind that your chapter is humming. And if we've done our job well tonight, you're going to walk away with the following three learning goals. Number one, the chance to explore how to make a request of your volunteers while being clear, specific, and providing a time frame. Number two, we're going to highlight a variety of approaches that you can think about incorporating into your own asking style to see what best suits you. And number three, having the chance to review the many benefits that come from asking for help, foremost of which is getting more of what you are seeking. So a little bit about our speaker tonight, Jean Rytok. When she was a co-leader in Rally Durham, the chapter went from 100 members in 2017 to over 2,000 in 2023. The secret tool was making requests. And so with that, Jean, the floor is yours and help us learn how to be more empowered in our own requesting.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the workshop about empowering your requesting. I'm Jean Rytok, and for 6 years, I was co-leader of the Raleigh-Durham chapter here in North Carolina, and I'm in Charlotte now. I also lead a program called the Empowerment Partnership Program, which is designed to empower CCL leaders in their CCL work. So why should you listen to me? Well, I'm not really teaching you anything. I'm creating a space where you can look for yourself and see some things about asking that you've not seen before. This workshop is to empower you in a key area that you deal with every day, namely asking for things. So I'm going to start by asking you two things. First is you're going to need to write something down in a couple minutes to participate in this. So I'll be asking you to pause the recording and do that. So if you don't have something nearby, I'll speak of it as it's a piece of paper and a pencil, but it can be anything. So please pause the recording and pull that in front of you now and then restart and we'll pick up from there. Thanks. Okay, so now that you have something to write on, I want to make a second request, and that is, this workshop is experiential. It needs your full participation, your full attention. So if you're like needing to multitask or you've got some distractions around you, it's probably not a good time for you to listen to this recording. So because as I said, it's about you discovering things, and that's almost impossible if you're multitasking or if you're distracted. So give it your full attention. You don't even need to take notes. There's a handout that accompanies this workshop that gives you everything I say, almost word for word. Okay, so with those two requests, let's get started. So this workshop is about empowering your asking. And the first thing we want to do is think together, especially for you to think for yourself, what kinds of asking is in your world already these days? So I want you to pause the recording in a minute and write some things on that piece of paper about what kinds of asks do you do, or what kinds of asks do you need to do in your whole life, not just your Citizens Climate Lobby work. Okay, so pause and make some notes about that and then come back. Okay, so you're back, good. And you've taken a look at what kinds of asking you have in your life. I don't know, maybe it's things like asking people to do the dishes, help in the kitchen, take out the trash. Maybe you are in your CCL work, you're asking for volunteers to do things. You might be asking your member of Congress for things. I hope you're doing that all the time. And asking for endorsements and all that sort of thing. And, you know, especially in volunteer organizations like CCL, it's like asking is the fuel that runs our engine. It's all over the place and it's very important. So what's probably also all over, and I'll bet you haven't thought about this, is the absence of asks. You know, that's when you need to ask, but you're not doing it. Maybe you have some barriers to asking. I know I do. So what does the absence of asking look like? Well, one of them is excessive fatigue. Another one is isolation, overwhelm, burnout, procrastination, and small results. So listen, I know you already have some skill in asking. You're who you are today, and you've gotten there. You've been asking all along. So wherever you are, this workshop is designed to take you further. Yes, you're already accomplished, you're already experienced, and also you're already smart. Okay, so let's look at empowerment. Yeah, we were just talking about requesting, so let's talk for a few minutes about empowerment. Empowerment starts with being aware of what's already going on. And many times it's not that obvious. So as best we can, we need to not just be aware of what's going on. We also need to look at it without judgment. We need to look at the stuff that we think is wrong with the way a scientist would look at something. Just let it be there and see what you can learn about it. Same thing about the things that are going right that you're proud of. Also look at those like a scientist would look at them and just see what's happening there. Up your awareness. Because the world of empowerment starts with just observing, and as best you can to observe without judgment. So let's do some of that. Take out your writing things and think of a time when you needed to do, or imagine a time if you don't have, if this doesn't come to you, a time when you needed to do a lot of challenging asks. Maybe you were looking for volunteers for your activities, or you had to make some cold calls, asking for an endorsement. So picture yourself, whatever it is, picture yourself in front of your computer or looking at your phone, and you need to make some important requests that are demanding or tricky or difficult. So tune into yourself. What is this like for you? What goes through your mind? And I want you to start writing it down. What is that experience like for you? Put it down on paper, just what thoughts come to you, what the feelings are. Anything that you see, write it down. So you're going to pause the recording right now and spend a few minutes. Take your time at this. Be straight with yourself and just say what you see. Okay, pause now and I'll see you in a minute. Okay, so you're back. And yeah, I'm not sure what you wrote down when I did this. I wrote down things like, you know, I'd just rather do it myself. Or this is hard. This is tiring. I should know how to do this, but sometimes I just don't like it. They're going to say no. I'm going to be offending them. They're going to just blow me off. They're too busy. I don't even have time to make these requests. Okay, so in the world of empowerment, we start to see what's been running us that's been under the covers, so to speak. And we see it as best we can without judgment. So look over what you wrote. You're seeing your humanity up close and personal, and you're seeing yourself as you are. Seeing yourself as you are is a very powerful capacity. You know, seeing how other people are, that doesn't really change anything. It's seeing yourself that's the source of empowerment. So isn't this interesting? What's what you wrote down? No wonder it's challenging to make some asks sometimes, because look at all the chatter we have going on about it. So what do I say is requesting? Well, requesting is getting into the other person's world with respect and compassion. It's making my ask clear and specific. It's giving a time frame for a response. It's asking for everything I want. And it's letting go of my prediction of their response. It's also letting go of my attachment to their response and allowing them full freedom to accept, decline, or counteroffer. I think it's an effective request when the person who's asked is satisfied with the outcome of the request. Okay, so there's a lot in there. I'm going to go over that one more time, and then we'll talk about pieces of it in a few minutes. Requesting is getting into the other person's world with respect and compassion. It's making my ask clear and specific. It's giving a time frame for a response. It's asking for everything I want. It's letting go of my prediction of their response, and it's letting go of my attachment to their response and allowing them full freedom to accept, to decline, or to counteroffer. I think it's an effective request when the other person, the one who's asked, is satisfied with the outcome of the request. So I ask you to listen to this with an attitude that you don't already do all these things. In other words, an attitude that'll give you some space to be a learner and to expand your asking capacity and skill. So I'm about to give you what I call the kitchen sink about requesting. A lot of pointers. And my request is that you find one pointer that calls to you and incorporate that into your asking style and see what happens. You're going to have the entire list, so you can always come back to it and look for another pointer to go further. So, pointer number one. First, I need to be clear about what I'm looking for and ask for 100% of it. I need to sit down with myself and really think about it. Like, what do I want to ask for? Sometimes I'm just overwhelmed, I'm stressed, a deadline is coming up or that's going to need resources, and I need to look, like, sit down and just think through what do I need? What actually could I ask for? And so then I start making some notes. I know that if I get this part right, it makes everything afterwards a lot easier. Pointer number two, I need to be clear about the end that I'm seeking, like the outcome, and not get attached to the means. Because sometimes, for example, you know, I say I want a co-leader for my chapter, for example. What I'm really looking for is a way to reduce my activities as the chapter leader. So that could actually be done a lot of ways. I could get an intern. I could find somebody who will handle part of the activities that they're drawn to and like to do. I could find new ways of doing things that take less time. And I think you can even get the agreement that certain things around here that no one wants to do just aren't going to be done by this particular chapter. Okay, pointer number three. I know it's a pitfall to think I know what they will say, or that they're too busy, or they're too important, or too interested for me to even ask them. I know that it actually empowers and honors people when I ask them, if I give them an effective request. It provides an opportunity for them. I'm saying I want to work with them and that they have something valuable to offer. You know, I can trust them to decide how to spend their time. I know that if I do a good job of making an effective request, it gives them the space to freely choose how to respond. I don't need to preclude asking because I think they won't accept. I'll just empower them to respond. I'll just ask them. Pointer number four. I like to think of requests like a drive-in window at a fast food place. There's one world on one side of that window, you know, the busy restaurant with all the food preparation and serving customers and cleaning up and all of that. And then on the other side are the people in the car. And maybe they're hungry, maybe they're impatient, maybe there are children in the back that are starting to act up. And each party wants to have a satisfying and effective exchange at that window. So I think of requests as a boundary between two empowered people. They can make their own choices inside their own world. And I can also make my requests from my world all like without judgment. In this model, I and the other person don't need to give each other all of our reasons for accepting, declining, or counteroffering one another's requests. And I don't even need to give all the reasons why I'm asking. We can just make a good request and listen to the response, and it can be low drama. Pointer number five. I need to remind myself that a good request is not necessarily a request that someone says yes to. A good request is one where I got into the other person's world as best I could. I asked for something clearly and specifically, and I gave them a time frame. And it's a good request when they are fully satisfied with the outcome of the request, whether they accepted or declined or counteroffered. Pointer number six. I want to be careful to take my request to the person who can do something about it. It's so easy to complain to my friends about how tired I am, but now I know that excess fatigue is a signal that requests are missing. Aha! Number seven, I've learned how to provide the space for a genuine reply. I'm getting better at having no be okay with me, really. I just need to remember what it's like to be working with people who are not fully engaged. Yeah, I'd rather be working with fewer people who are genuinely with me in the work. And I've learned that declines are powerful. They tell me where not to go, and they send me in another direction. And they can have me get creative. They also teach me something. I also need to remember that in our culture, no can be difficult for the other person. I've gotten better at making it easy for them to give me a genuine response. And for example, I might say, we're looking for volunteers, but you're free to say no. And here's what we're asking for. Or I might say, can you give me a hand? I know you're busy, so please don't feel like you have to. Here's what I need help with. Or I might say, listen, I completely understand if you don't have time, but could you blah, blah, blah. So when someone declines, I like to thank them for being honest with me, and I appreciate them for that. Maybe it was hard for them to say no. Number eight, here are some phrases that I picked up that I use to ease into the full request. Would you consider? Would you be willing to? This is an opportunity to. Okay, so number nine, here's an example. I think it's a good request, and we were asking for volunteers. It went out to about 1,000 people. It's an actual request, and it's went out via a mass email. So when I ask via email, I really think hard about the email title. I want to craft it so that interested people will open the email. Remember, the person on the other end is probably got a long list of emails, so you want yours to be somehow clear and hit the right people to open it up. So here was what the title that we used. Seeking a CCL Welcome Team Volunteer. And here's the body of the email. Dear CCL friends, these are exciting times. We're now lobbying the president, and key decision makers in Washington, and it's clear they are considering carbon pricing. We rejoice at our progress, and we will keep going no matter what. A nice side effect of all this is that people are joining CCL in record numbers, and that means our welcome team could use more volunteers. The front door of our chapter is open, and the welcome team are the ones who greet people at the door and direct them to CCL activities. The welcome team needs volunteers to call new members, to get to know them a bit, to introduce them to CCL, and to connect them with volunteer opportunities that are a good match. No prior experience is required. We found that people who join CCL are some of the best people on the planet. If meeting some of them and sharing your own passion for climate advocacy is for you, then reply to this message by the end of the day, Wednesday. Thanks for considering it. Okay, did you notice how I tried to get into their world, such as by saying no prior experience is required and putting CCL in the title. Did you notice how I think it was pretty clear and specific about what the welcome team does? So they know what they're saying yes or no to. And I gave a time frame for responding. As I said, this request went out to about 1,000 people in a mass email. 995 of them either ignored it or declined. 5 people responded, and 3 of them had not been active before. Interesting, isn't it? What happens when you ask? Pointer number 10. When I have some asks to make, it's normal for me to sometimes experience discomfort or fear or resistance or procrastination. I just want to let you know that these are normal for most people. Although it has for me gotten easier as I've developed my capacity and mastery for asking, it's not unusual to have to push through something to make my ask. And that's the time I just simply bring courage to my asking. Courage is feeling the negative feelings and taking the action anyway. I just do it. I just ask. Pointer number 11. When I'm going to be asking in person or via phone calls, it helps me to lower the negative feelings if I write up a script for myself ahead of time. I pay special attention to the opening line. Actually, I don't follow my script word for word, but writing it down helps me to formulate specifically what I want to ask for and gives me some key phrases to use. When I'm calling, I always have the script in front of me, and I say even if I'm in person, I might have it nearby and refer to it if I need to. Pointer number 12. This one is always a surprise to me, and it really works. I call it the nudge. So let's say I made a request to someone, and I don't know, by text or email or phone message or whatever, and some time has passed and I've gotten no response. Of course, my imagination runs wild with all sorts of explanations. You know, I didn't do it right. I've offended them. I knew they were too busy. They don't really want to help, and so on, you know. Notice that these thoughts are usually disempowering. And when I get no response nowadays, that's when I use the nudge. The nudge is a second communication that asks their thoughts about my original request. More than half the time, this gets a favorable response. I'm always surprised, and I really just love it. But I make sure that my nudge has no hint of a criticism. For example, if I send a text and I haven't had any reply in a day or so, I would just send another text saying, "Hi, any thoughts about my earlier message?" That's all. Try it. It's amazing how often it works. And finally, I've learned the benefits of asking them to respond by a certain time. When I do that, I can take it off my mind for now and put a reminder on my calendar to check for responses after that deadline. And if I need to, I can use the nudge. Very clean and energy efficient. Okay, as I said, this is the kitchen sink of ideas. There's a lot in there. Just pick one, the one that currently calls to you, and start using it. I really want you to get all the benefits of asking, because the biggest benefit of all is that you get a lot of what you want and what you need. So that's it. If you found today's session helpful, you might be interested in a full program that I do called the Empowerment Partnership Program. It's designed to empower CCL people in requesting and other capacities for doing CCL's work. So if you want to hear more, just send me an email and I'll give you information. Okay? All right, let's go out and get what we need and get what we want. Let's just ask for it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration.
Like what you hear? Recommend us to your friends and make sure to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us show up on other listeners' feeds. Feel free to pass on any suggestions for future episodes in the comments as well.
And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.